It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
We've got our take cannons loaded and ready.
Ready.
Absolutely dominant on deep routes. Absolutely dominant on short routes.
The boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
This is Reception Perception, the show.
Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Coe, Matt Harmon here with you, and you are listening to Reception Perception, the show. Matt, how are you doing today on this fine Tuesday afternoon as we record here today?
I'm doing great, James. You can feel... You're definitely starting to feel the weight of that extra week before the draft at this point. Yeah. You know, listen, no disrespect to Chris Collinsworth, but we're so long into the draft process that I saw a tweet like an hour ago that in Chris Collinsworth's final mock draft, he mocked Hendon Hooker to the Chiefs at the 31st overall pick. I'm like, and the idea of like, well, the only way the Chiefs season is banged is if they lose Patrick Mahomes. So let's get him Hendon Hooker. I'm like, yep, that'll be enough. We need it. We're just killing time now before we actually see these damn picks. So I'm ready for it to be Thursday. I'm ready really for it to be Sunday so that we get the 100%. Whole thing done. And I mean, but yeah, I love the draft. I'm just ready to get to the draft at this point.
Yeah, I love the draft too, man. Just the talking points and all that stuff. And you get to kind of learn about these guys from an interpersonal basis as well. Some of the packages that they put together on NFL Network and ESPN, I think, are great too. So learn a lot about the people that are entering into the draft, which I think is a lot of fun too. I mean, listen, you and I, we can sit here and pop up YouTube videos and game tape and those kind of things. But what's great about the draft show in particular is that they do the work. You know, they really do the work in terms of trying to find good stories on some of these folks and kind of just round them out as people, man, not just prospects. They're people too. You know what I mean? So there you go. But hey, listen, we got a great show today for the folks out there because we're going to talk about some, you know, incoming rookies here, some prospects, if you will. I want to talk about Tank Dell out of Houston, Marvin Mims. These are two guys that, from an athletic profile, are very, very different. Their games are very, very different. And I'm a little torn on how each one of these guys will go in the NFL. So, of course, we've got to talk to Matt Harmon about that. And of course, they've got their full profiles up on receptionperception.com. So go check that out. But I wanted to start the show off with, of course, the hot topic. Aaron Rodgers now officially a New York Jet. The Jets... I'm not sure what they were thinking here, honestly. And I think the overarching, you know, thought in the football space is that they got fleeced. As a matter of fact, the word fleeced was trending on Twitter when the trade down. That's how many people thought the Jets did poorly in this trade. Not only did the Packers get a pick swap, moving up two picks, they got the second, which everyone assumed that they were going to get, but they also got a conditional first rounder. Rodgers just needs to play 65% of the snaps in this upcoming year for the second rounder to float into the first round. Man, I don't know what the Jets were thinking here, but they could have just waited and waited and waited the Green Bay Packers out. There's no way the Packers are going to carry that cap charge going into next season. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, 65% of the snaps is like 12 games. You know, he plays 12 games. He'll make that. So
crazy.
And by the way, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play that amount of snaps, there's a good chance that the Jets suck, and that will basically be like a high second round pick. So
exactly,
that's kind of a win-win for Green Bay there.
Unbelievable.
Look, I actually like no shock, I'm going to be the centrist on this trade. I like this trade for both sides, because for the Packers side of it, look, you were moving on from Aaron Rodgers. Like, if you think about it, that like it is a lot for them to. It's a lot to get for a player that you were done with. But it's just tough because
that player you were done with
though is still a 2-time MVP from the last three seasons. Like, you know, I understand that they were not going to just give Aaron Rodgers away. I mean, they would just, I guess they just carry the cap charge and wait him out. And, you know, I mean, if he's on the roster, he doesn't show up to training camp and stuff, like they can start to fine him. It could get really messy. But anyways, like, but from the Jets' point of view, look, there are no ideal situations when you're in the spot that the Jets are in, because we have to remember that they are in this position because they whiffed hilariously, hideously, awfully bad on the Zach Wilson pick. And there's no, there is not like a comfortable pair. Right. There often are no parachute cords to rip when you've made this massive of a gaffe. So if you have to maybe overextend yourself a bit to find not a perfect solution, because there are obviously risks with Rodgers. Like, the guy said he was 90% retired almost 40 days ago. You know, that's obviously a little concerning. This might be a one-year Band-Aid. And obviously there are questions about Rodgers. But look, for you to land Aaron Rodgers as your consolation prize for, hey, we screwed up epically on the second overall pick, and like, we got to salvage something. This is a good roster. This roster is ready to go right now. We have young players that Rodgers can help develop. I think it's again, if you have to overextend yourself a little bit, I like the move for the Jets. I would have been fine if they just gave up the 13th overall pick this year and just gotten it done. Like, they had to get it done because there were no other options for the Jets. Like, and I think I know that people think the Packers have the, you know, no leverage or whatever, but I mean, it doesn't matter. The deal's done. But like, I think too, when you think about the fact, like, the longer this goes on for the Jets, the weirder the vibe gets around it. You know, like, you want him in the building, you want to be able to have the press conference, the whole thing. So just get it done. Like, I'm just glad it got done, honestly.
Just get it done. Yeah, I don't disagree with that, man. But I will say, though, and we've harped on this many, many times on the show, but again, it's like, if you're making this move, don't move Elijah Moore. Like, that's the move that, to me, didn't make any sense, right? If you're making this Rodgers move, don't move Elijah Moore. But we've harped on that.
So the one thing actually that I've, you know, because again, I think it was over 40 days ago, almost like 45 days or something, that Rodgers was on the McAfee show and said he intended to play for the Jets and his time in Green Bay was done. So it's crazy that it's been this long. But the one thing that my opinion about this has changed since that day and since we've talked about it first on the show is that I pretty clearly think that the Jets are going to be they want to be a pretty similar team to what they were last year. And that was a team that ran the ball, played good defense, and like, their solar system orbited around Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. They don't want to necessarily be like, this is not Peyton Manning going to the Broncos and breaking passing records or Tom Brady going to the Bucks and throwing 700 passes a year and like outrageous stuff like that. They don't have the ecosystem for that now that it's, you know, Garrett Wilson, who I think Garrett Wilson's a stud. You know, I put the stat out today on Twitter about how like, he has a superstar ceiling because, you know, he had an 81.2% success rate versus press coverage as a rookie. And the entire list of guys who have done that since 2014 in their rookie season hit 80% success rate versus press. CeeDee Lamb, Michael Thomas, Tyreek Hill, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Odell Beckham, and now Garrett Wilson. So again, those are like all the best receivers in the NFL, right? Yeah. Those are all superstar level players.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if you have a Garrett Wilson as a, like 130, 140 target plus player, and then you have Alan Lazard as a role player, we'll see if Corey Davis is still on the roster. They could still add a couple of receipts. Yeah, I kind of doubt it too, but they're a little thin there, that's for sure. Like, this is a team that wants Breece Hall, who had an ACL tear, but a pretty clean ACL tear, to be sort of the figurehead of their offense. And they want Rodgers to, you know, and they want Rodgers to be an efficient passer. And when Rodgers was an MVP in 2020 and 2021, he ranked 13th and 12th in pass attempts. So I think they want to have a similar, you know, offensive approach to that. And I think if you're shipping off Elijah Moore for assets, like, by the way, the Elijah Moore pick is the one that went back to Green Bay in this trade. So I don't know. I'm not, obviously I liked Elijah Moore. I'm a huge Elijah Moore fan, but I just think like the Jets, if part of getting Rodgers in the fold was losing Elijah Moore and still keeping to your offensive identity, I'm not necessarily going to kill him for that.
Yeah, I totally hear that. But like I said, man, I think what makes the NFL, when teams separate themselves, Matt, it's when they become specialized in something and it forces other teams to adapt to them. Right now, what they've got from an offensive perspective is a very ordinary, I don't want to say ordinary, but it's nothing special. They have a good to great quarterback, okay, but he's not, let's be real, at this point in his career, it's not like he's a top three quarterback in the NFL, right? So he's probably good to great. You've got a great wide receiver in Garrett Wilson, and then the talent level behind him falls off the map. Alan Lazard is an average player. Mecole Hardman, we're not even sure he's starter level. Okay.
No, yeah,
so
I don't think so.
So we are really, really scraping the bottom of the barrel here in terms of talent for pass catchers. I mean, Tyler Conklin, okay, maybe. I mean, again, we're talking about a rotational starting tight end. Okay. I love Breece Hall. You know, I love Breece Hall. I've been touting Breece Hall for an entire year now. Right. So no, I love Breece, but again, he's coming off of an ACL. So when I look at this offense from just a paper standpoint, talent standpoint, I think from a talent perspective, I think they're slightly above average, you know, but when you add Elijah Moore into the mix, and man, how often have we seen this on teams? When you have a guy that can make everyone slot into their more natural positions, the offense just, it just starts clicking, man. You know what I'm saying? So I thought they made a real mistake there, but I totally get what you're saying. If that's the linchpin that makes the deal work, obviously you got to make that deal, man. Mm-hmm. So I do get that part about it as well. I want to get your thoughts on this comment though, from Douglas, who said, making this move for Aaron Rodgers is a quote unquote great thing for Zach Wilson.
Okay.
And he also followed that up by saying Zach Wilson has a quote unlimited ceiling.
I politely disagree with you, Mr. Douglas. Yeah. I mean,
Come on, Joe, what's going on? Don't say these things. Come on, man.
I guess you can't just go up there and say like F Zach Wilson, we're done with Zach Wilson, just because it's like I'd almost just ship him like for any pick you could get. Like,
agreed.
A seventh round, because
totally
you just don't want,
agree.
The nightmare for Jets fans is like, you know, and I don't even want to like knock on wood, I don't want to put this in the universe, but like Rodgers gets hurt week four and like Zach Wilson's your backup quarterback and like you see old number two trotting back out there. It's just so toxic. Like, his teammates are openly celebrating that, like, hey, Breece Hall has Aaron Rodgers as his profile picture on Twitter. Aaron Rodgers is his pro in back at Cal. He's his profile picture on Twitter. I mean, like, your teammates are so excited about the fact they're done with you. I would just get him off the roster so you don't even have to answer questions about him anymore. But they do seem to, I do kind of think they might have themselves in this weird little brain pretzel where that Aaron Rodgers, because him and Zach Wilson have had some sort of bond, like friendship a little bit, like they've texted and communicated before, that he might be like good for Zach Wilson in the room. But just the thing with Zach Wilson is like, it just, it, No, it's just not going to happen. Like guys who are that uncomfortable under pressure don't suddenly become comfortable under pressure, and it's going to fix itself. Like, I don't know. Maybe if he develops it, I don't know. But I it's crazy to me. I'm curious what you think about from the Packers standpoint now.
Yeah.
Because look, the Packers, obviously it sucks that it has ended in this horribly frosty way, and like, but it is such an end of an unbelievable run with Rodgers there. I know they only won one title, but he was so good. You know, you couple with the fact that he replaced a legend in Brett Favre and became better than Brett Favre. You know, it's a right. hell of a run. And now they move on to Jordan Love with an offensive roster that needs a lot of help. Like, mm-hmm. I think, you know, I'm moving on from the rookies now charting, and I'm working on the guys that are going to be on the site on May 8th, you know, which is the, with a giant move in the background. Oh my God. You know, good those are the guys that, thank you. Those are the rookies from 2022. The rookies of last year are going to hit the site on May 8th. And I got started on Christian Watson, obviously, because of this whole thing. And dude, like, I just don't think Christian Watson is the number one receiver. Like, I think he's like a highly volatile, like a Martavis Bryant. My prospect comparison mm-hmm. was Martavis Bryant, like a volatile number two receiver that has high highs, but some low lows. Like, it's kind of nice that they ended up with a 13th pick and maybe jumping New England, because I think they need a receiver. I think they should take a receiver in round one, because that depth chart is, I think they will too, because I could see how they used to justify, like, we don't need to invest in receivers. We have Aaron Rodgers, the ultimate teammate elevator. And we have, by the way, they also always went under the radar that they have the best effing receiver in football. Like, get Aaron Rodgers some help. Oh, he just happens to have the best receiver in football, Davante Adams. Aaron Rodgers falls off in 22. Gee, I wonder who left the offense in 2022.
Exactly.
So I think you could justify not making those investments previously, but now with the pick swap to get up to 13, I mean, maybe they just end up taking a lineman, which, by the way, that's not the worst thing in the world either. But I do think they need pass catching help there to make the Jordan Love thing work.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely need O-line help as well. They've got an aging O-line that is fragile at best. But you're right, the pass catchers there, man. They got Christian Watson, Romeo Dubs. And then who is their wide receiver three, dude? Like,
I think it would be like Samaje Toure right now, who had like
no
long,
really. I don't know anyone else on the roster. I just pulled it up. Bo Melton, Jeff Cotton. Who are these guys?
What? I feel like Bo Melton was drafted by the Seahawks in the seventh round last year.
Bo Melton, yeah. Jeff Cotton, and Samori Toure. Come on, dude. I know Toure got some run last year, but golly, that's gotta be the worst pass catching group in the NFL. Has to be.
Yeah, Toure had five catches last year. He did have that one long touchdown against the Bills. I contend that nobody spends more time on wide receivers than me. I don't know who Jeff Cotton is. Okay. I don't know who that is.
Jeff Cotton is a Madden creative player, dude. What are you talking about? This is not a real player in the NFL. Get out of here.
I mean, JSN, I think, would be awesome at the 13th overall pick. Like,
would be great.
And you know, I think they need somebody that's steady. You know, somebody that's a really steady player there. A guy that gets routine separation in short to intermediate areas. Because Christian Watson right now, I mean, again, the farther you go into the season when he was popping off like some touchdowns and stuff, it's nine routes, it's post routes, it's slant routes. It's kind of what I've said about Christian Watson, even dating back to his draft days, which is fine. It can be a really good player, but I do think you still lack a number one receiver that Jordan Love on third down knows, like, I'm going to this guy when there's man coverage. I'm going to this guy early in the route. He's my first read. He's going to be open quickly. And that does scream JSN to me.
Yeah. I just think I'm just going to go out on a limb and just say, I think they're going to get exposed. I think Green Bay is going to get absolutely exposed. They're going to get torched this year. I don't believe in the head coach, and I've said that very publicly for many, many years, and I think Aaron Rodgers has been masking a lot of their problems, both just from a talent perspective and from a coaching perspective. I think they're going to get run up. I really do. I listen, I love their running backs. We just talked about their wide receivers being, you know, not NFL caliber. The running backs, great. Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon, that's an awesome 1-2 punch. If their offensive line stays healthy, then they could grind out some yards on the ground, which is exactly what LaFleur would love to do. But I from a defensive standpoint, they look a little sketchy. Man, this offense is going to be a tough, tough watch, man. It's going to be a tough watch, bro. I'm not looking forward to it.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
You don't brag about your car's resale value until years later when it proves you made the right call. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For the sixth year in a row, Toyota was named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book, with Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner all earning best in class. Because when you buy a vehicle that's built to last, you drive away with value you can count on. Shop Toyota.com to learn more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.